Celebration of Psalms, Part 2. In Part 1, we started talking about the life of David, son of Jesse, who wrote the majority of the Psalms. We looked into the early part of his life and how his experiences, particularly his troubles, and how God helped him in those troubles and through those troubles, how that shaped his life and reflected in his art, his poetry, and songs we read in the Psalms. When we left David last time, he had already killed Goliath, became one of King Saul's captains, even King Saul's son-in-law. But out of jealousy for David's popularity, King Saul decided to send men to kill him. But David learned of this plot and fled the city to hide out in the wilderness of Judah. From there, in that desolate solitude, he wrote many of his psalms. Today, we will pick up where David left off. Many of his wilderness psalms reflect his internal pain, his angst, his outrage that he himself was so wronged and slandered and misrepresented, and that those who were mistreating him seemed to be getting away with their evil deeds. So he rightly voices his complaints to God over the injustice he sees before his eyes. Many verses from different psalms keep repeating and going back over the same ground, so I'll skip over stuff here and there. In Psalm 10, David begins with his complaint, his protest. Verse 1, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Ever asked such a question? It made it into the Holy Scriptures, so it must be an okay question to ponder. And remember, these psalms are written from a human perspective. God isn't hiding himself, but it sure seems like that sometimes. So David tells God what he finds so disturbing, things that God seems to not be noticing. We may not have a king chasing after us with an army, but we have spiritual forces of evil to contend with every day. And we see the disturbing things that they cause. Wars, bloodshed, stealing, lying, violence, oppression. Disturbing things we witness every day if we pay any attention to the news at all. We are disturbed, as David was disturbed. Verse 2, "In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak, who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous." Of course, nobody's ways are always prosperous. But it seems like that sometimes. Sometimes the least worthy people, to our minds anyway, seem to achieve the greatest wealth and rank and status. How can that be? David wants to know. He's thinking primarily of King Saul and his friends who've unjustly chased him from everything and everyone he loves. Evil men, violent men, who seem to be getting away with it. Verse 9, "Like a lion in cover, he lays in wait." Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. David has painted well the picture of this injustice. Now he makes his appeal. We heard his protest. Now we hear his prayer. "Arise, O Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, 'He won't call me to account'? But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider the grief. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Verse 15, call the evildoer to account for his wickedness. He started with a protest, and he's moved from protest to prayer. Now that he knows that the Lord has heard him, now that he's pondered in his heart what he knows is true about the Lord, and that the Lord is all-powerful, and that the Lord is good, now by faith he moves to praise. From protest to prayer to praise. Verse 16, the Lord is King forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror. Psalm 62 begins with this most profound declaration, one that is echoed throughout the ages. Generation after generation of believers have proven it true. Verse 1, my soul finds rest in God alone. Here is a man in great need of rest, and he found it. A rest in the face of all his troubles. A rest more deep than all his anxieties. A rest more powerful than all his enemies. My soul finds rest in God alone. Even as St. Augustine of Hippo wrote many years ago, our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And now David speaks as if he were talking to King Saul and his friends himself. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Now David has some advice for all of us. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, and the highborn but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your hearts on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you reward everyone according to what they have done. Then there's Psalm 139, and I think it best speaks for itself. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, well, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. In verse 23, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And somewhere along the line, David penned his most famous psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him. Though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.